All right, now we're here. It's Blair and Barker for a Friday. July 4th. Happy 4th of July, Mr. Barker. Happy 4th those of you who are listening in the States.
Happy 4th.
Wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Jays would be in first place on the 4th of July?
Not a chance. No shot.
Do you think they'll be in first place on the 4th of September, August?
I don't appreciate that question. Okay. Yeah. On a Friday.
When it's a tough way to start.
We're supposed to be happy.
We are happy.
Well,
it's Friday.
Half of us are happy.
I'm happy.
Okay.
I'm happy.
Well, yeah, we should be.
Oh, the Jays are in first place for the first time in the history of this show, I think, this late in the year.
For a day or two.
Well, no.
You were going to say
I was
say
not
going
to say
you
that.
You were.
I was
and
not.
And then you caught yourself.
I was not going to say that. I was not going to say that.
You were.
Jays beating the Yankees 8-5 last night, sending the Yankees home with their tail between their legs, possibly putting Clark Schmidt in the IL. He is, he has been put in the IL today with right forearm soreness.
Said he'd been dealing with that for a while.
Yeah, although he said this is the first time it actually occurred in a game. So the Yankees are currently going at it with the Mets. It was 2-2 the last I looked, but we don't really care about the Yankees.
Judge Soto hit a homer.
Yeah, big deal. We don't worry about second-place teams. You don't worry about second-place teams. I mean, seriously.
You don't?
No. You know, we don't talk about second-place teams. Not in this city where Jays are in first place.
We may not have a show in a couple of days then.
Why?
Well, if we're only talking about a first-place team, you know, it's...
Now you're the negative guy.
No, ebbs and flows of the season.
I mean, the Angels are in town. What can go wrong?
Well, Angels are a decent team.
Angels are, well...
They hit homers.
The Angels are 8-1, and... You know, shout out to Ron Washington. We hope Wash is one of our favorites, and of course he's going through some health things right now, and he won't be with the team. So shout out to Wash. But yeah, they're a surprise. Look, they're a surprise team. They're not as bad as a lot of people thought they would be, and you are correct. You probably don't know a lot of guys in a team, but I'll tell you this. Kevin, they do hit a lot of home runs.
Yeah, they're a game and a half out of the third wild card spot. They're not a bad team.
Remarkable. No.
They got a couple of good starters. They got a bunch of dudes who hit homers. I think they got five different guys that got 13 or more homers.
Yep.
Taylor Ward's got 20 homers. He's got 50-plus stakes. Like, they got some guys that can do some things. The Jays pitching staff
kind of very quietly.
Well, there's
the
no expectations.
Well,
there's not really any expectations there. I mean, the Dodgers are the only team in L.A. It has nothing to do with the Angels, and Mike Trout never plays. So, you know, when you can just go out there and be free and easy and not have to worry about winning, whether you win, you know, it's a sort of a sidebar. So, I think the Jays got their hands full a little bit. You got to continue to do the things. You got to have the at-bats you've been having. You got to run the bases. Can't give them more outs on the defensive side. Like, you got to play a complete game still against the Angels to beat them. And what more do you want? I mean, you're in first place. If you've never been, if you're not confident by now, going into today and, you know, the next couple of days over the weekend, I think they got the right guys going. Kevin's, you know, looking to bounce back. Max has been solid since he's been pitching. Eric Lauer, nobody can hit that dude.
He's the answer.
You know, so where would they be without him? Huh? They'd be calling me and you to pitch.
I don't know about that. I don't think they're at that point yet. The Jays lineup is out. No Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He fouled the ball off of the top of his foot last night. And so he is not in the lineup. Andrés Giménez is back in the lineup. Bo Bichette is back in the lineup. The lineup is Andrés Giménez, George Springer, Bo Bichette hitting third, Addison Barger in the cleanup spot, Davis Schneider, Nathan Lukes, Ernie Clement is at third. Will Wagner's at first. Tyler Heineman is behind the plate. And some other news, the Jays have sent out Justin Brule. They have brought up, I just lost the name of the pitcher here. Hang on. Bear with me. They have brought up Lazaro Estrada, and he will be active for tonight's game. And Anthony Santander has been transferred to the 60-day IL with left shoulder inflammation. So if you backdate it, that means he won't be available until the end of July, just around the trade deadline. which, I mean, I can't say I'm surprised based on everything we've heard. It's, you know, he could be swinging in a couple of days. So the Jays are going to give him all the time. They had to make a 40-man roster move anyhow. I guess, the only thing is you would like, if you were the Blue Jays, I would presume, you would like to have had a handle on where Anthony Santander is going into the trade deadline. Now, you still can. You could still get a read in his health, even though it's possible that he won't have played a ton of games going into it. But anyhow, those are the lineup moves and the roster moves. And as I said, I'm not surprised Anthony Santander is going on the IL at this point. I didn't think you'd see him until the end of the All-Star.
You know what I'm surprised about is why Bo Bichette's not leading off. That's shocking to me. He's been used to doing that. Why you wouldn't put George Springer in the three hole? Like, it is interesting to see how John sometimes mixes around his order.
No. Is Kirk not in the lineup? Did I say?
So I don't think he is. Is he DHing? I don't know.
So you would obviously he's not in the lineup. So you would want Springer's DHing. So I think you'd probably want a little bit of a run producer in the third spot. I don't know. There could be a bat path thing. There could be a bat path thing with Menez and Hendricks. You just don't know. But anyhow, I'm not surprised.
You're not?
No. No, I think, again, Bo is, as good as George Springer has been this year, Bo has been pretty good with runners in scoring position. So I'm not surprised about that at all. As Kevin mentioned, Eric Lauer, Max Scherzer, and Kevin Gausman. Mm-hmm. The pitching matchup tonight against Kyle Hendricks. We'll be joined by the manager, John Schneider, in a few minutes. Obviously, a lot to talk about. The Jays in first place after last night's 8-5 win over the New York Yankees. Series sweep. The first time the Jays have swept the Yankees in a four-game series at the Rogers Center. They've done it twice at Yankee Stadium, which might surprise a few people. But they've swept a couple of four-game series at Yankee Stadium. And so John Schneider will join us. Shai Davidi, MLB columnist with Sportsnet, will be along. And because we're not going to be doing Blue Jays talk tonight, we are pinch hitting on Blue Jay Central this weekend. We'll go to the back leg line, 416-413-3959. If you have any questions or comments for Kevin and me, you can leave them now. And name and location, we'll get around to them throughout the show. Because it is Friday, we're kind of making this up as it goes along.
Oh, you are?
Well, I mean, it's good. It's good. I mean, it's first place team, man. I mean,
I think we should stop talking about whether they can continue to do this and just enjoy it while it lasts. I mean, you know, again, they're a good team. You know, are they the best team in the American League East? Only time will tell. They got 75 games to figure that out. Right, they got 39 games on the road. They got 36 at home.
Well, right now they are the best team in the AL East.
They need 40 more wins to get to 90. Can they do it? That's the question. If you want to look big picture, you're thinking to yourself, right? You know, you got to play a little over 500 on the road. They've had trouble on the road. That's why they're taking machines. They're dumping people and uniforms to put machines on planes.
They're not dumping uniforms.
They are, absolutely. They are, you know, every uniform has to match up with helmets, and absolutely they are. It's like I don't know what I'm talking about or something.
Well, hang on. They're dumping uniforms.
Yeah, like you don't take certain uniforms on the road on certain times because you want to put machines on there so you don't wear a uniform on the road that you normally would wear because you have to bring helmets that match the uniform. That takes up space. So what do? You leave the machine. You take the machine, you leave the uniform at home. Or you can leave some khakis. They got so many of them.
I was thinking of
it. Or you let them drive. It's almost like you think I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I realize it.
You look at me like, man, you just making that up, ain't you?
Well, no, when you said uniforms, I thought you were talking about players. I'm like, what, you're going to leave three relievers behind so you can take the eye pitch or whatever?
No, their relievers are good. Who would want to leave them at home? I mean, their whole entire team's doing things right now. Just pick a guy, throw him out there, and they're figuring it out.
They sure did last night.
Their coaching staff's been on point all year. I mean, I don't know if you can argue any of this. I mean, you can nitpick at little things that John has done, why you put this guy in this spot. You know, I've done it. I've done it on Blue Jays Talk. You know I have. I'll do it. But long-term, with consistently what he's done to try and get a bunch of names on the back of the jersey that you'd be going, if they were playing a lot, there's no way they're in first place. But they're in first place. Coaching staff's been on point, boy.
I've been saying for a couple of weeks, right now, he is a candidate for manager of the year. He has to be.
First place. If they win the East, I don't know how you couldn't give it to him. I know the guy in Detroit might get a bunch of votes, but man alive, anybody picking the Jays to win the East? Raise your hand if you did. If you did, you're lying. Ain't nobody picking them. And if they did, if Detroit run away with the American League, nobody would. Well, you'd be like, yeah, with the way they looked last year with the pitching staff that they got the best pitcher on planet Earth. Heck yeah. The Jays? So, no, he'll get a bunch of votes, I would think, if they win the East. And he might still get a bunch of votes even if they don't win it, depending on what their record is. It's just fun. Hey, you said this yesterday when we were getting calls about some Texers had texted in and said the team actually looks fun.
Well, it does look fun. Yeah, and we had last night on Blue Jay Sock, we had a couple of people call up and say the same thing. I said, I can't remember since 20, I mean, the team's made the playoffs a couple of times, so it's not fair to say history stopped at 2016. I think a lot of people, you know, some of the teams around the COVID Jays, people liked watching them. I mean, we saw them on TV a lot. I think people liked that just because of where we were, you know, as a society and everything, and the Jays were a good distraction for people, and you know, people like the Jays story playing in Buffalo and Dunedin and all that. But in terms of and I love that team. I thought I loved the Simeon. I absolutely love that team. I thought they mashed. They were so much fun to watch. This team though,
Blatty's never looked better.
This team though, I think it's the type of team. See, Toronto as a sports city, they like superstars, but they really like guys who overachieve.
Yeah,
they always, whether it's hockey. I mean, look at the guys who have become, you know, basketball icons in this city.
Springer of the world.
Guys who were, well, George is a little more star quality. I'm talking about people like the Davis Schneiders and people like that. People in this city like to see that. They really do, and that's not a criticism.
Nope.
And I think the other thing they like is they kind of like the unexpected, because with the Leafs, you get the same thing every year. Great regular season in the playoffs. I mean, you do.
Fair.
The Raptors, I mean, they've kind of spent 3 or 4 years sort of not knowing what the hell they were doing. Rebuild, we're not rebuilding. Why have we got a shot? Wait a minute. We don't know what we're going to do. We're going to get rid of these guys. How come everybody we get rid of ends up going to the NBA Finals? I mean, the Raptors haven't known what they're doing for the past 3 years. This is unexpected.
It is.
And I think that's what makes this so, has resonated so much in the market. First of all, it's baseball, and it's an everyday thing. So, you know, you're in first place, and you're playing a game every day. That feels a little extra special. But it's just the unexpected nature of this. And it's just a whole bunch of stuff has kind of come together around this team. And I don't know, you know, I don't know if we'll ever recapture what we had in 2015 or 2016, because I don't think this team has the same sort of swagger that team did. But that's a product of personalities, and it could develop. It very easily could develop.
Yeah,
that's why. But the callers are right. This is a fun team. That 4-game series. First of all, the atmosphere was tremendous, the ballpark. But that was, you know, I was watching it in the booth with Chris LaRue and Ben Shulman. Mm-hmm. We had fun.
Yeah,
it was fun to watch. There was a bunch of, you know what? There's a whole bunch of baseball going on.
Yeah, it is amazing that a team is right now in first place in the American League East that don't rely on homers. They hit them some.
Yep.
But they don't rely on them.
No, they can
beat you running the bases, stealing a base, and the biggest thing, guy over. We saw that before the Lucas.
And biggest
double.
Thing is they don't, you know, knock on wood. Because again, don't sleep in the Angels, folks. Don't go thinking, oh, these are the Angels, these are an easy 3 games. Do not go sleeping on the Angels, because as my friend Barker pointed out, they do mash. They will hit home runs.
A lot of them.
So I'm not, you know, don't sit there and think this is a guaranteed sweep by any stretch of the imagination. But again, having said that, it's a team, it's a Jays team that doesn't on most nights just doesn't beat itself.
Let me ask you a question. You feel any differently about Chad Green?
No. Based on one outing, no.
It's been a couple. I mean, his fastball up looks like it's got a little bit more deception to it. It was not only yesterday, but it's been in the last couple of days.
Yeah, I just need to see. I need to see it more often because he's still giving up, 11 home runs? I need to see. Yeah, do I have a huge amount of trust in Chad Green? Not a chance in hell. He's not in my circle of trust in the bullpen right now. But that's, it's temporary. There was a time last year where he was. Just he really hasn't, I don't think this year, put himself in a position to be in that group.
He's the biggest worry in the pen, Chad Green. It's the one name that stands out to you that you go, uh-oh.
Yes.
He's in the game.
Yes.
He's warming up.
Yeah. Don't worry about, God love Braden Fisher. Braden Fisher comes in, I'm fine with that. Chad Green right now is the guy that, when he comes in the game, you kind of get a little knot in your throat. But
you think the Jays organization sees it that way?
No, because I think they're seeing a lot of the things that you see. They're seeing the velocity. They are seeing the command of the upper part of the strike zone. I just don't know. I think he has less room for error than anybody in that bullpen. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't think his slider's good enough to get lefties out.
Yes.
That's the problem, right? And a lot of the times because the lack of deception with the heater this year, just for whatever reason, lefties don't think that's a big deal anymore. Like, they'll let that travel fight it off.
He can still hit 96 up in the zone. It's hard to hit.
He can, and he's a giant human. You know, you have to adjust your eyesight when you're hitting off him. You got to look a little higher, which is not the easiest thing to do, to tell north, right? North of the strike zone is very hard to tell whether it's a strike or ball. He just hasn't been real good mechanically at attacking that one little part of the strike zone. But I wonder, John continues to put him in the right spots. You know, it's...
I'm not saying you never use him. Because, John, if you're in that bullpen, you're going to be used. The way John and the way the coaching staff game plan. I guess what I would say is, when I see him in a situation like last night... Let's face it. He was in a situation like last night because Jimmy Garcia threw 150 pitches in his first return. Whatever it was, 37 pitches in his first return
potato,
back.
Potato.
And Nick Sandlin still kind of, I think they're...
Not very good.
Well,
there's some worry there.
I don't know if there's worry as much as you got to be careful with him right now because he is coming off the aisle, and it's a side injury.
Remember, too, he's coming to a different team.
He's coming
doing
to
it in the American
team.
League East. You know, that division he left is not a bad division, but it ain't the East.
Yeah. So
it's just a different animal. He's trying to find his way. I'm not making excuses it's facts.
But, I mean, I'm not worried about Nick Sandlin. I still...
He's got to be careful when you use him, right? I know he can get lefties out, but would you... You know, having him face two lefties and a righty is probably not the smartest of things. I think with Jimmy coming back, now they can sort of pocket who they need to pocket.
Here's the way I would look at it.
The Littles of the world, the Greens of the world, the Sandlins of the world.
Here's the way I would view it. I don't think Chad Green is your first option on any night. He's in the game because somebody isn't available or whatever. That's the way that changes. That changes throughout the course of the year. But I think that's where Chad Green is right now. He's the guy John will go to if nobody else is available.
Yeah, like the Stanton at bat yesterday where he threw the first pitch slider. Now, again, it's against Stanton, and Stanton knew he's getting sliders.
Yep.
Right? And he will chase. That's what everybody knew.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Kirky was making sure the target was where the target was at with Greeny throwing that with a couple of dudes on base. But you got to execute. That's the point, I think. I wonder if you're the front office and you're sitting up there and you're watching your team play out. What's the eye-popping thing at the deadline? Numero uno. Not three different things.
Well, no,
there's got to be an order of the thing that I want first. What is it?
No, it's pitching, 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 and pitching.
Pitching can be different levels of pitching.
Then
I want an eighth-inning guy? Do I want a four-starter? Do I want a right-handed hitter? Which order do I want them in?
I mean, I would think. I think it's hard to say right now. I mean, we're talking about...
Well, I would think they need to know that.
Well, no.
Their team's pretty good. They're in first place. You should know.
No, you basically got a month left. You got 3 weeks left before the trade deadline. Who the hell knows what Max Scherzer's going to look like? Who knows if Eric Lauer keeps it up? I mean, this is we're sitting here 3 weeks from the deadline just assuming that there's going to be no issue with the starting rotation.
Mm.
I mean, pitching's going to be the focus. right? If the starting rotation is okay, I think your number one focus is getting a leverage arm for the bullpen. Then you look at adding another starting pitcher to lengthen it out. But, I mean, if Max Scherzer all of a sudden needs to skip one or two starts and Eric Lauer, you know, the pixie dust wears off and Bowden Francis doesn't make it back, well, then you're looking at adding a starting pitcher. The thing that I think is we can kind of put to rest, though, is the idea that you are going to spend a lot of your capital on a hitter. Maybe a guy falls in your lap. You know, every team goes out. We talked about this yesterday. Every team goes out the trade deadline and adds a Tommy Pham kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Well, the Jays don't need that this year because Davis Schneider looks like he could be their Tommy Pham kind
there
of guy.
There it is.
In terms of the everyday lineup, where do you have a crying need? Forget, they may not have an all-star caliber third baseman for the next 5 years, but right now they're fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong, I don't think, anyhow. I don't think there's anything wrong with the core of outfielders they have.
No.
Shortstop, second base, I mean, okay with that. First base, you're obviously okay.
Mm-hmm.
Catcher, you're okay.
Yep.
So if I'm the Jays, I'm focusing on pitching. And if I can get a veteran hitter who can maybe fill in a role, then I'll look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking at this, you know, this roster right now, and other than Will Wagner, like I don't want Nathan Lucas to go down.
No question.
Miles Straw certainly isn't going down.
Not a chance.
I mean, Jonathan Class A is already down there.
Yeah.
It has to be pitching, but you know, we're going to drive. And I understand it's a trade deadline, and everybody loves trades. I love trades. It's great to talk about trades on Sports Talk Radio, but unless the Jays are going to make a move this weekend, you know, we need to keep in mind that the priorities we see today may not be the priorities we see at the trade deadline. What if Anthony Santander isn't good to go at the end of July?
Yeah.
And now you're looking at possibly going into September. I mean, there's a possibility. We just don't know. All of a sudden now, yeah, you do have some hitting here, but you'd probably like to add another bat. Probably like to add a guy, a DH of some, or not a DH, but a bat of some caliber.
Yeah. There's some work to do, is your point.
Yeah, not as much as, and this is, that's why I want to wait for it. Because right now, I don't think there's as much. I mean, 2 weeks ago, we were saying they need this, they need this, they need this, they need this. Now we're saying, well, they need at least a leverage arm and a starting pitcher.
Like, yeah.
The list is gradually
if they got
down.
One of the two, I couldn't argue or yell and scream. I'd be okay with that.
No.
If Max is fine, Lauer keeps doing Lauer things. If they went out and got an eighth inning guy, I'd be happy with that. And that's all they got. As long as he was legit eighth inning guy, absolutely.
Yeah.
You could give the ball to occasionally, he could close when Hoffman's not, or Jimmy's, whatever Jimmy's doing. And you got Yariel maybe pitching in the fifth or the sixth inning. Like that for me is the sort of the one thing that separates good teams from great teams is how it looks when you give the ball to whoever you're giving it to and how many of those arms you can give it to that the other team can't hit. That for me is where they're at just because of what their offense is doing. Because they don't strike out, Jeff, that's the big thing. Mm. You know what that did to the Yankees? That put a lot of pressure on a bad defense.
Oh, that wore some pitching down, too.
Yeah, Jazz was tired of getting balls hit at him.
Yeah,
let's be real about it. So, and then the sort of the last thing, right, would sort of solve everything is trying to figure out what's going on with Vladdy. This is the thing. No, like you fastball in.
But you know how I feel. But I think he's going to figure it out because I just trust him.
Well, you're hoping. Yeah, I mean, he's got tons of talent. He's got gobs of that. It's just been going on for a long time. 300 over 300 bets a lot.
Every now and then, I say trust the athlete, and you roll your eyes. In this case, I just trust the athlete. I really do. It could be misplaced trust. But I trust the guy.
I mean, I just. Not trust. You just sometimes got to use your eyes. What you're seeing and what you're seeing is the same thing a lot. And, you know, it's one thing for a hitting coach to walk up to the other 12 guys and say whatever he's going to say to them and they buy into something. It's a different time and a different thing to say it to a $500 million player. So that's, you know, again, I'm not behind closed doors. I have no idea what they're saying. I just know what you see, and what you see consistently is being late. And I said plan B, and if you remember, John yelled at me.
He didn't yell at you. Well,
he said
you
very sternly, and how's it playing out? What would plan B look like? I simplify one of the moves. I don't use it until I figure out how to beat the dude to the spot, and then I can do whatever I want to do because I'm confident and get my foot down, and it'll get down on its own, and I don't want to think about it. Who am I? I know.
You're Kevin Parker.
It's like, you talking about flipping this thing on its end and being able to consistently be the team in the East? Get the donkey at first figured out. Boy.
416-413-3959. That is the back leg line. We will get your question. I will get your comments or your questions for us throughout the show. Shai Davidi will join us. A reminder, tonight's game is a Apple TV game. So it won't be on Sportsnet TV, but it will be on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Mm-hmm. And Ben and Chris will have the call of the game for you tonight.
Great job, they do.
First pitch, yes, they do. First pitch is at 7:07. And then tomorrow the regular schedule kicks in. Max Scherzer against Jack Kanowicz. I have no idea if I pronounced the name right, but what the hell. Good Polish boy, I would think. And
awesome.
Tyler Anderson on Sunday against Kevin Costner.
I like this Jeff.
What?
This Jeff hasn't been around in a while. I like this
swirly?
Jeff. The one that just don't give a you know what.
Oh, like I do give a you know
what. That's today. Today, for whatever reason, you showed up.
I'm happy.
Yeah. Okay. This is what happy looks like and sounds like.
Yeah, I'm happy. Why wouldn't I be?
I don't know. I have no idea.
You know, I get
maybe
my Fridays.
They were selling your favorite milk at the grocery store. Who knows? I know you like chocolate milk.
I get the, every now and then I get a case of the Fridays.
You get swirly. It's okay.
I'm entitled.
I live in Swirlyville.
Yeah.
It's fine.
You are the mayor of Swirlyville.
How about that?
Shai Davidi at 5 o'clock. When we come back, the skipper, John Schneider, the first-place manager of your first-place Toronto Blue Jays, talks about his first-place team going into this weekend series against the Los Angeles Angels. It's Blair and Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is Blair and Barker. This is Friday. The Blue Jays are in sole possession of first place in the AL East. I haven't checked lately. What are the Yankees and Mets doing to each other? I hope they're just like grinding each other.
You told me not to pay attention to second place, so I'm not.
I just like to know.
You told me.
How about Miles Mikolas? Hard to do what he did today. Mikolas, 6 home runs in 3 innings. He gave up. That's hard to do.
Your manager at?
Huh?
Where's his manager at?
I don't know. I mean, we have seen managers leave starting pitchers out.
We need to talk if I were that pitcher.
Anyhow.
To my manager.
So the Yankees are beating the Mets 5-3 right now. Not that it matters because
who's
they're in
winning?
Second place. The Yankees.
Yeah. I saw Judge go way up. Soto went way up.
Yeah. The Jays and Angels will open their series tonight. It is an Apple TV game, but it will be on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hmm. And it's Kyle Hendricks against The Answer, Eric Lauer. I'm sticking with that nickname.
Well, it's not fair. It's not his fault.
Because
you're poking fun.
No, I'm not. I'm saying he answered. No, I'm not poking fun. He answered a huge question for this team. His ERA is 2.60, 4-1. I'm not doing that. By any stretch to slag him, he filled a pretty significant hole for this team.
Okay.
Just because I give a guy a nickname doesn't mean I'm doing it to be
you've given
knob.
Me nicknames before, yeah, and I know the reasons.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's obvious. Jeez. Eric Lauer, he's been the answer for the Jays and a number of buddies, so I'm going to call him the answer. I really don't care. Maybe I won't. I shouldn't give people nicknames. Really should.
You're all over the place here today on Friday.
Yeah.
You know? The word is you got to earn nicknames. He's earned it, I guess, the answer.
I don't know. If he was a hockey player.
It's like 9 against 1.
If he was a hockey player, we'd just call him Larzy or or Lau. I don't know.
That's what you do in hockey?
Yeah, you take the guy's last name, add a ZY or an ER, you know, like Burnsy or whatever. Yeah, it's the old story. If Babe Ruth were a hockey player, his nickname would have been Ruther or Ruthie. It would have been. Anyhow.
Thank God he didn't play hockey.
Shai Davidi joins us at 5 o'clock. He is our MLB columnist. Again, the back leg line is open, 416-413-3959. Questions, comments,
Bill
salutations.
Bill, how good a job he's doing today on Friday.
Questions,
first place
comments,
for your first
salutations.
Place Blue Jays.
They are first place Blue Jays. And here is the first place manager of the first place Toronto Blue Jays, John Schneider. All right, John, needless to say, this team is on a bit of a heater. I really don't want to jinx things here, but I'm going to ask you this. As a manager, I mean, pretty much everything you've done in the last 10 days has worked out. Are you in a heater too?
I mean, I think it's more so the guys, you know. It is nice when things work out. You know, it's the great part of this job and the hard part of the job where you're trying to, you know, put guys in spots to have success. The guys have really responded, you know, whether it's coming out of the pen, you know, guys starting, guys coming off the bench. They've really kind of just taken, you know, hold of what we're trying to do and being ready at any moment, you know. So I always like to say the guys are on a heater, not me. You know, I don't think that the way we prepare, the way I prepare is any different. And, you know, sometimes these things kind of, they roll out in your favor. And it's, when you're playing good baseball, it seems to be more often than not.
Speaking of a heater, George Springer is on one of those.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, the sort of the totality of his entire year, you taking him out of the leadoff spot just seemed to me like it freed him up, the mechanical adjustments. So, you know, just it's obvious that he's done some different things just to make his bat a little bit quicker. But, John, the one thing that stands out, and all great hitters hammer velocity, as you well know, they get after the heater. Mm-hmm. Slug on his heater this year has went up about 200 points. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I mean, Georgie, he's always been able to hit a heater. And I think, you know, what he's done, you know, from – I remember in spring training, everyone, you know, we kind of watched his performance and it was, you know, everyone was kind of holding their breath. He was working through some things and making some changes, you know, and it takes time. But he's definitely increased his bat speed. He's hit it off with Pop and Lou. Obviously, Hunter's been here. And I think just having the intent with every swing, within that, he's not chasing. You know, he's getting good pitches to hit where I think last year probably swinging at some more marginal pitches on the edges as well. So you kind of put those two things together and you get a confident George. He seriously had was unbelievable. And, you know, to kind of watch him navigate some of those at-bats was great, especially against Weaver. And I think he's made some pretty significant changes, and it's really paying off.
What do you think the biggest difference with Addison Barger and the breaking ball has been?
Yeah, another guy, I mean, huge series and, you know, has really, really kind of been exactly what we needed, not only from a left-handed bat, but a power bat. I think what you're seeing, Kev, is a guy who's always had physical talent, putting that together with a really, really good approach. And I've said this before about Addy, he's not afraid to take some chances, you know, look at some tendencies. That's another area where I think, you know, Pop and Lou and Hunter have moved the needle forward with our guys. And Addy has the ability, almost like Bo, to where he's going to swing. You know, he's going to try to get his swing off. And he has the physical ability to kind of make some adjustments as he's moving within the box, if that makes sense. So he's comfortable and he's confident. And the approach every single night has been really good.
You know, one of the things that has really stood out, I think, about this team almost from the start this year has been, John, they just don't seem to chase. You know, we talked to the Yankees people, mm-hmm. and they said one of the things the Yankees had noticed, and other teams have talked about this as well. I mean, we talked to the broadcasters, and they all say the same thing. This team just doesn't seem to chase. Was that a point of emphasis in spring training, or is that just almost a natural byproduct, I guess, of some of the new voices you have in the coaching staff?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. It's, you know, personnel driven for sure. You know, I remember, you know, talking to you guys a year ago about, you know, yeah, we don't chase a lot and we make a lot of contact. I think our I know our quality of contact has gone way up. And, you know, within the chase thing, too, is just putting the ball in play. You know, you perfect example is, you know, the at-bat from Nate Lucky last night where it's 14 pitches and you foul nine off. And that takes a toll on a pitcher, whether it's a starter or a reliever. It's something that we definitely talk about. We definitely have talked about it more in certain counts, and just kind of leaning into some pitcher tendencies, some kind of league tendencies in certain counts and things like that. But that, yeah, that's kind of how we're built. We've kind of been that way for the past couple of years, and I think we're kind of finding the sweet spot of, you know, yeah, we're going to put the ball in play, but we're going to have some guys that are going to put the ball in play with some authority.
What's been the biggest difference you've seen with Davis Schneider? Now, all of a sudden, I think, at least from afar, what I've seen from him, he's now capable of using the whole field instead of just trying to pull everything. What have you seen from him? What have you liked that you've seen from him? And it's getting a little harder to take his name out of the lineup, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, he's kind of hit a little bit of a spot here to where there's been some good matchups for him, whether it's lefties or righties that kind of fit his swing profile. So, biggest thing with Schneider, man, is he's being more aggressive. You know, he always does a good job of controlling the zone. I feel like he gets a lot of borderline calls called on him, and he doesn't budge. But, you know, you look at some of his at-bats over the past week, 10 days, he's ready to hit early in the count. And when he's doing that, he's pretty good, you know, just in terms of using the whole field. You know, I think yesterday, two strikes, single to right, you know, he's comfortable, you know, and I think that when he's at his best, yeah, he's pulling the ball in the air, and he knows when to take his shots. But, you know, the guy can hit. You know, I know he's had his ups and his downs, and he's been through it a little bit, but I think when you get some confidence, you know, you're going to see, you know, what you're seeing right now from him. And again, it kind of goes along with who we've been facing. You know, there's been some pretty good matchups, whether it's starter or reliever for him, that kind of fit what he's doing.
You know, John, yesterday when I was watching the game and I was trying to figure out who you were going to go to out of the pen in certain situations, and, you know, sort of the rumbling was that Jeff Hoffman was not available just because he went three out of the 4 days. You know, Sandlin was up. You could just tell you and Petey were, you know, trying to figure it out the best you could figure it out because of who wasn't available. And then Hoffie got up on the mound and started getting loose, and everybody started scrambling and going just because – John, we rarely, if ever, see a high leverage guy go 4 out of 5 days. Walk us through just conversation of, you know, making sure the player is capable of doing that, if he's comfortable doing that, if the organization's comfortable. Just like, what's the conversation like preparing a guy to maybe go through that?
Yeah, I mean, really good question. I think that, for one, Pete does a great job with staying in touch with these guys, starters and relievers, as well as Graham, as well as our trainers, everyone. Everyone's kind of involved. So we know beforehand, you know, who's available, who's not, obviously, and we try to keep it as tight as we can. But yesterday, you know, Hoff, you know, we have the luxury of having some veteran guys, too, and they're very honest with how they're feeling. So Hoff was good to go in a save situation only, you know, not 4 outs. Not up by 4, you know, so we kind of knew his role. And then within that, you're trying to just navigate. If you go Nick there, you know, instead of sending Chad back out, it kind of leaves you a little bit thin. Or excuse me, if you went Nick in the 8th after Brule, you know, then you got Hoff and Hoff only, you know, you got no one for extras. So it was tough to navigate knowing that, you know, Judge was not going to swing that inning against anybody. We knew that. So you're trying to just find spots for guys, you know. So I think the alternative was Chad finishes the 7th. You can have either Nick or Brule go to the 8th. Didn't want to use both of those guys in the same inning and burn them and only have Hoff if the game did get tied. So there were a lot of moving pieces. And I think Chad, you know, kind of an unsung hero last night, getting the outs that he did and striking out Grisham and getting Rice to fly out and allowing Brule to get a left-on-left matchup. So a lot of moving parts for sure, and it worked out. We were right down to the wire, and it worked out.
John, obviously Max Scherzer made his last start. We saw how that turned out. I think it was probably better than a lot of us expected. Where is Max at going into this next start? Was his You know, his days between starts, were they normal? Were there any issues? And what are your expectations for him?
Yeah, he started off mound yesterday. And, you know, again, with Max, we're regular rest for the next, you know, last turn, this turn. So we're going to be mindful. And, you know, Max, he's a great communicator. He's in here talking to myself and Pete every single day. And as of now, you know, he's good to go tomorrow. And I think kind of as much as we talk in between his outings, you know, we talk during his outings too, kind of see how he's feeling. You know, he came out hot his last outing, you know, the first 2-3 innings, and probably caught up to him a little bit there after the fifth. But so far, so good. And it's just one of those things you got to continue to monitor.
John, what does Eric Lauer and the pitching staff have to do to keep the Angels in the yard? They, as you well know, hit a bunch of homers. Yeah. I think they're second in baseball and homers on the road. You're going to have your hands full. How do you guys do that?
Try to strike out. Sometimes you got to go for a weak contact. They're a little bit of both. You know, they do damage, and that's how they're built to score runs. So you have to execute at a high level, and you have to not let your guard down from pitch one. You know, Nito's leading off. He's ready to jump you from pitch one. Adele's having a good year. Darno's hot right now. They got Soler's always a threat. They got some guys that can do some damage. So you have to execute. You don't want to get out of anything that you're normally doing, but you have to really be aware of pitches in the middle of the plate and try to limit those.
John, it seems as if you guys in the past couple of months, I mean, you've really kind of gained a home field advantage. And I think in the past we've wondered about that, you know, when the stadium was reconfigured and everything. And what explains that in your mind? Because it almost felt in this Yankees series, John, like we were back in 2016.
Yeah, it definitely had. It had that feel. And I think that, you know, our fan base is one, you know, they've shown it in the past that the support we get is pretty phenomenal. And, you know, crowds are coming, you know, crowds were coming last year, you know, to their credit, you know, when we were having a rough go at it. But it really, you know, guys feed off of it. And I think that, you know, guys have been here in the playoffs, in really meaningful games, and they love it and they talk about it. So to have that feeling basically for all four games and Canada Day, you know, mixed in there as well. It's really cool. You know, we have this place is built for players to have every opportunity for success. I think that helps with our performance at home for sure. And I do think that, you know, guys are just really comfortable playing here, and that says a lot about our fan base, and we hope they keep coming out.
Yeah, you know, John, the one thing for me anyway that stood out was base running. I know we don't talk enough about base running because it's kind of boring, right? I mean, it's baseball 101. Big leaguers should all know how to base run. But Fabulous and Budzinski just seem to always be doing the right thing, right? It's the when you need a stolen base in the eighth inning off a reliever who don't know how to hold a base runner on, it just seems like Bud is always on top of it. Carlos is always sending the guy at the right time. It is really, truly amazing how prepared they are, isn't it?
They're awesome. They're both really, really good at what they do. I've said this before about Carlos. You know, I've admired his work as a third base coach for a couple of years when he was in Boston. And these guys are unbelievably prepared. And I think you take that from a pre-series meeting, and then you talk about it as the game unfolds. You know, just a quick example is, you know, Devin Williams comes in and Bud always flies by me, and he knows who's coming up, and he knows we got guys that can take a chance. And it's like, yeah, game on, let's go. And it's been cool to watch not only them prepare, but the players. You know, you may have heard me talk about it the last couple of days, but for the past month or so, we've turned ourselves in from, you know, we were the worst base running team in the league in April, and we turned ourselves into the third overall base running team in June. And first on advancing on hits, which is something that we've talked to the guys about, something that we definitely track and something that we're really proud of. So it starts with effort and anticipation and, you know, taking an extra base, tagging up on a deep fly ball, both runners tagging up in that series. You know, what the first game watching Miles Straw and Lukey take extra bases on the infield. George scoring from first yesterday on Barge's double. But all those little things add up. And I think the guys are noticing that. And you know, offense gets, I guess rightfully so. It gets really, really viewed at hitting, right? That guy's in the box. But in order to generate runs consistently when the slug isn't always there, I think that's where our contact ability and base running has made it sustainable over the past month and a half or so. So it's been a collective effort. It's been a lot of discussions from a lot of us over the past month. And guys have bought into it. The guys have seen that, you know, taking chances is okay. It comes with, you know, getting thrown out every now and then, but every little detail matters. You know, I think another example is Wags going hard second to third on a weak comebacker to the mound, deflects off of the pitcher's glove, and he's able to score on a ball off Hemi's bat. Like little things like that, you never really know which run is going to be the most important. And I think, to me, viewing our team as a whole, I think that's what's kind of allowed us to be playing the way we've been playing the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
John, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much for this, and go get him.
Thanks, buddy.
John Schneider, manager of the Blue Jays, the first place Toronto Blue Jays, opening a 3-game series against the Los Angeles Angels tonight at the Rogers Center. If you missed it, Vladdy Jr. is not in the lineup. He took a foul ball off his foot yesterday. Bo Bichette is in the lineup. Andrés Giménez is in the lineup. Bo is hitting in the number 3 spot tonight for the Blue Jays. Talk to John about the bullpen.
Yeah.
This isn't all the bullpen, but the New York Yankees in that 4-game series, and you guess what they were with runners in scoring position? Because they had a ton of base runners.
Yeah.
They were 9-for-50.
Wow.
With runners in scoring position.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, obviously the players have to execute, but you have to credit the Jays for the game plan they had against the Yankees. You know, obviously pitching around Judge or intentionally walking Judge, that was the talking point. He had 8 walks in the series. I mean, when's the last time Aaron Judge has played the Jays over 4 games and had 3 RBI? 2 of them on 1 swing,
yeah,
on that home run.
Mm-hmm.
He had 8 walks. He was 6-for-10 with 3 RBI in that series. And as I said, the Yankees as a whole, the Yankees had opportunities. But, man, the Jays, they figured it out.
Yeah.
They figured it out.
I think I think the Jays' main guys stepped up, right? Hoffman's of the world. I mean, he pitched a lot. When he did pitch, he was really good. Little, when he came in against the right pocket, I think John is sort of trying his best to put him in pockets now, just not throwing him out there for an inning. I think they think that's what's best for him. You know, a lot of the times you're thinking more about the player than you are about your team, and if you do that, sometimes you're rewarded for it. So I do think that's the little bit of an adjustment that they have made, right, just by trying to get the best all year, not small sample sizes. And, you know, Jimmy, I think, will learn from what he did, and he'll be better with his finish. And, you know, you got to remember, I think it's May 22nd since
Jimmy,
the last time
Jimmy he's looked like a guy who hadn't pitched in a month in the majors to me.
Yeah, but they're expecting a lot, right? I mean, again, it was just more execution than it was, right, selection of the pitch, or he had Judge set up. If he doesn't miss it in, he's probably out. Like, it's little things like that. So you can sort of work backwards if you're John, right? If most guys are available that matter, then you're trying to figure out how you get everybody in the right pocket at the right time against the right part of the Yankees lineup, which, boy, it worked. I mean, you can't argue. I mean, everybody's yelling about when they're bringing Brühl in, and it ain't really about the inning. It's about who he's facing.
Right.
Because you're trying to get the best out of him. It's just, again, there's a reason why they're in first place, because everybody's pulling in the same direction.
Yeah, we didn't mention this, but Chris Bassitt, 113 pitches over 5 2/3 innings, 9 strikeouts. I mean, let's put it this way. If Chris Bassitt doesn't give them those extra 2/3 of an inning, that becomes an even more difficult game to put together for a bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, he's still tough, right? I mean, the 6 at-bats, 6 of the 9 at-bats in the first 2 innings were 5 pitches or more.
Yeah.
That led to the 42 pitches in the first 2 innings. In the 5 innings, he had 6 different pitches at 6 different times. Like, he did enough.
Yep.
Like he's supposed to do.
Shai Davidi is Sportsnet's MLB insider. He joins us next. It's Blair and Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet.